Numbers, chapter number 1, verse number 18. And they assembled all the congregation together on the first day of the second month, and they declared their pedigrees after their families by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names from 20 years old and upward by their polls. And then Numbers 2, verse number 1. Numbers chapter 2, verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard with the ensign of their father's house, far off about the tabernacle of the congregation shall they pitch. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, tonight for the privilege of being here at Mount Zion Baptist Church. Thank you, Lord, for the people that are here. And I pray, dear God, that, Lord, what's said and done tonight might bring glory to you. And Lord, that it might be a great encouragement to all. And Lord, as we leave this place today, Lord, that we might be the kind of witness that you would have us to be. And I'll thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I've started something in the right about around January because so many people were saying, what's going to happen now? You know, we lost our president. Our country's gone down the tube. And I even had my kids call me. And that's, you know, they're fearful for what's going to transpire. And I said, you know what? We're going to be looking up. Jesus is coming. And so, you know, and I thought, well, the book of Numbers is about that wilderness wandering. And I feel sometimes like we're living in a wilderness. Don't you? You sort of feel it sometimes. But, you know, we're to have victory. Even while God's children were in the wilderness, he provided for them in such a way that they could move on and it could accomplish his plan and purpose. But we see some things that happened during this time. And the Bible tells us that now all these things happen unto them for examples. And they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. That's in 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 11. So it's an example to us. And so it should be a help and a blessing to us. What we're looking at tonight is God's special people. God brought them out of Egypt. You say, well, why were they God's special people? Well, because they trusted in God's salvation. They had to, remember, offer a lamb. That Passover. It was an individual choice. Just like you and I, we have an individual choice that we must make concerning the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. It was an individual application. They had to put the blood on the side of the doorpost and the upper doorpost. Well, it's got to be an individual application for you if you're going to trust Jesus. We apply the blood, not with a hyssop or on a doorpost, but we apply it by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And then it was with individual results. When God saw the blood, he passed over that. They were pardoned for their sin. And we have our sin. Our sin is forgiven. We have redemption through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are God's special people. And so when I look at this, there was an order for God's people. It's an amazing book, the book of Numbers. It's something that I started and I struggled with it because there's so much in it. And a lot of times you're tempted just to pass over certain things. You ever do that when you're reading through the Bible? You'll see something, it'll catch your eye, and you'll go, I wonder what that's all about. And then what do? You read on and just let it lay. You shouldn't do that. Sometimes it means you better look up the word. Find out what it means. Find out, why did God put it there? What's the reason for this? But God had an order for his people. You see, you'll find that they pitched their tents. And as I was looking at this, they pitched their tents in relation to the tabernacle. I thought that was interesting. Why did God do that? Well, remember, he wanted them to know the importance of the law of God. He wanted them to know that of his presence and protection and guidance. They had the Ark of the Covenant. They had the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. But when they pitched that tent, they all pitched their tents according to where that tabernacle was. Keep your eyes on the Lord. A lot of times we get our eyes on everything else but the Lord. And then we start worrying about things. And I got to thinking about Lot. Remember, Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. You say, why did he pitch his tent towards Sodom? Well, he had some interests that he shouldn't have had. Did it cost Lot? It did. And that's why when I look at them in the wilderness and God provided everything that they needed. Well, has not God provided everything that we need? Does he not lead? Does he not guide? Do you feel his presence? Think about that. It's been a lonely week and a half. Been a lot of stress. I'll get alone and I'll open up my Bible and I can feel his presence. And he comforts and he encourages. I listened to my mom when she got home from the hospital, and she almost died. She walks in the house, and the first thing she did, she threw her hands up and said, "Praise the Lord, I'm home." We put a monitor up so we could hear her at night, and, you know, because we couldn't trust her to walk. We've had trouble sleeping, Sandy. Sandy and I, we can't sleep at night. You know why? Because my mother's over there saying, "Thank you, Lord. Lord, you've been so good to me." And she keeps on saying those things. You know, she's got her mind what? She's focused on the Lord. And you know, that's what we need to do. Well, you look down here. It says here about their pedigrees and their families. And I got to thinking about that. If you look back, you have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You have 12 tribes. And then they had the houses of their fathers. But it follows. You ever wonder why there's so much emphasis put on that? Because there was a spiritual heritage. Remember when Daniel was taken into Babylon? Remember, they wanted to change their names. They wanted them not to remember their spiritual heritage, but they wanted to give them a new one. That's a problem. And so as I look at this, well, the Bible tells us that as Moses told the men and women of his day, this is Deuteronomy 6, verse number 4, if you want to look at it. It's pretty important because it's all about leaving a spiritual heritage. You know, in 2021, in the wilderness that we're living in right now, this is pretty important. And for my 11 children, I've got my last ones getting ready to get married. I did something that my son-in-laws tell me they don't know if they would want to do. They're not looking forward to it. But every time one of my daughters would meet a young man, they would say, that was interested in marriage or dating, really. More like courting. But my daughter would say, "If you're interested, you need to talk to Dad." And so I would first ask him, "Are you saved?" And then I'd ask a lot of tough questions. And believe me, when I started, I did this. And when I got down to the last couple, it got a lot worse. And I just said, "You know what? If you don't like it, it's because of your siblings that I've changed. I've learned a little bit, so I know a little bit more what to ask." Is this important? I want to leave a spiritual heritage. All right, so I want to find out, well, what do you believe? Do you believe this book? Are you gonna be the spiritual leader in your family? This is important. It's important to me. And so the girls come along. And Uriah he met this girl and he brings her home. And he's now engaged to her, but she was sitting in my living room. And I said to her, I said, "Now, I always ask the prospective son-in-law's questions." And I said, "I'm not going to do the same thing with prospective daughter-in-laws." I asked her if she was saved. And I said, "I got a few questions I want to ask." You know what she did? She didn't make me ask anything. She just went on and told me everything. Well, that's a blessing. But what I'm saying is, you know, leaving a spiritual heritage. You can't leave a spiritual heritage if this is not so. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 4. I want you to look at it. You young people, this is important, okay? It says here, "Hear, O Israel," this is Deuteronomy 6, 4, "the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Now he's talking to the parents. He's saying, this is the way it's got to be with you. If you're going to train up a child in the way they should go, you have to train by example. And so it's got to, if unless this is in you, it won't be in your children. All right? Next verse. "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." And so here, Moses' exhortation to the families. This is what they needed to do. And so when I look at that, I'll read it again. Numbers 1:18. "And they assembled all the congregation together on the first day of the second month, and they declared their pedigrees after their families by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names." And I know this goes even more into the numbering and the army and that they were planning. But understand, you'll find this wording throughout. They weren't to forget that. They weren't to lose this. They go all the way back to Abram. There was a reason for that, because they were left with a spiritual heritage. Daniel never forgot it, even though Daniel and the three Hebrew children, they tried to force them to forget their spiritual heritage, but they still kept it. Amen. That's a good thing. They were raised right. Numbers 11, verse number 1. In Numbers chapter 11, verse number 1, we read, "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost part of the camp." Look at verse number 4. "And the mixed multitude that was among them fell lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat?" I got to that and I the mixed multitude and the children of Israel, well, they all came out together. They all observed the Passover, didn't they? That's evident, because they were with them. You ever ask the question, who are the mixed multitude? Who are these people? Well, did a little bit of digging. When they were in Egypt, you know what happened? Some of the Israelites married into the Egyptians. They could no longer identify with a tribe. They lost their pedigree. That's a terrible thing that happens even today with Christians. When we marry into the world in Christian families, you're going to lose your pedigree. You're going to lose your spiritual heritage. You're not going to a lot of our families today, I can think back families that were in a good Bible preaching church. And today you look at their kids and their grandkids and they don't even resemble Christianity at all. It's not there. They've lost it. Doesn't take much to lose it, does it? And you say, well, a lot of times I'll hear people say, well, once they're out of the house, it's nothing I can say to them. The older are to teach the younger. The older men, the older women are to teach the younger. The married ones even. Amen? We still have this responsibility. And so here, this is important. I don't want to lose that. And you know what happened? This is interesting, because the mixed multitude started to complain. And if I was to read on, you're going to find every man stood in the door of his tent and also started to openly and publicly complain. It caught. It was contagious. It's supposed to be the other way around, right? My light should be contagious. My living for the Lord ought to be contagious. But you know what happens? When you train and you don't love God with all your heart, soul, and might, and you put things before God, your children pick up on it. It doesn't take long. And so, today, we really, honestly, need to be careful of that. There's another verse. I'm going to go back to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Remember the parable on the kingdom, mystery of the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 13, verse number 25. Now, Jesus is saying this to his church. When Paul said, look, what happened back here in the wilderness, this was written. These are examples that we can take, and we don't have to fall and have problems like they did. We can have victory. We can accomplish everything that God has set out for us to do. We can finish our course with joy. We can you believe this? We can finish when that trumpet sounds and have every child and every grandchild in heaven. Now that's amazing. I was told by several people not that many years ago, you'll just be lucky to get two or three. And I said, my, if that's, I look at the Rechabites and they went for hundreds of years. Generation after generation living for God, listening to their father, Jonadab. I read that in the Bible and I said, how could they do that? Why can't I do that? If the Lord tells me, if I train them up in the way they should go, they won't depart from it. Why can't I have that? And so he says here, well, look, in the wilderness, there were some rough times. But he says, I want you to know, I'm the same God that provided for them, that guided them, that led them. Pitch your tent. Stay focused on God. Don't get focused on this world. Understand, as a brother told me tonight, he's got my back. God has ours. We can finish. We can do this. So this is Matthew 13, 25. Well, back up. Matthew 13, 24. This is the second mystery, the tares among the wheat. And another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed a good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. Now I'm gonna go to the where he explains the second mystery. Would you go back over to verse 36? Verse 36 of Matthew 13. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. And so in the church, what's he saying? The devil's going to sow tares. What do the tares look like? Same thing likened unto the mixed multitude. They go through, I mean, they offered the blood sacrifice. There are a lot of people that go through, they sing the same songs you sang. They may pray. Well, didn't Judas pray? Didn't Judas praise God? Will Judas be in heaven? No. A lot of times, I've heard people say, well, you're going to be surprised who's in heaven. No, that's not what the Bible says. You're going to be surprised who's missing. Jesus said there's many that will seek to enter in, but they won't be able to. Why? Well, there's a broad way. Remember, Jesus said this. There's a broad way that leads to destruction. There's a narrow way that leads to life. But few will find it. Matthew 7. Okay? So here, he's talking about the enemy sowed them. He sows the tares. How did the enemy do this? Well, while the good men slept. I've got to go back to this. I'll read it again. All right. While men slept. Verse 25. Did you see that? All right. Now I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Notice in verse 14, Here the Apostle Paul uses the same wording. He uses the same word. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. All right? So what's he saying? Who's he saying this to? He's talking to believers. He's saying, awake thou that sleepest. In other words, get busy. Live a holy life. Practice sound doctrine. Awake thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead. In other words, as a Christian, I should not have the characteristics of someone who's spiritually dead. How many times have you seen Christians and they have the characteristics of someone that's lost? We're not supposed to have that, right? He says, look, awake thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead. We're to separate from darkness. Back up a little bit. Look at verse 10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in the secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And so what is he saying? Well, I'm not to have fellowship with darkness, but rather when I see the darkness, I need to reprove it. And when I reprove it, what happens to my light? My light gets brighter. What happens to the darkness? Well, the darkness is revealed. That's darkness. What do our kids need to see? They need to see that. Amen. And so when, you know, as I was looking at this, the wilderness wandering and looking at the mixed multitude, well, we have the tares. And there's only one way to prevent tares from doing damage. And that is that we awake from sleeping, that we get busy living a holy life, and we practice sound doctrine. Seems like today, a lot of times when our children or grandchildren step out, I had a granddaughter that did something, went against her parents, and I had to make a hard choice. She's going to marry someone that grandparents were disapproved of, or the parents disapproved of. That's not an easy thing to do. My dad told me when I got married, you ever leave your wife Sandy, don't come home. What was he doing? Reproving the darkness. Now, I don't know what your past is, but I know one thing. I remember Don Thompson down at New Freedom. He was a retired football player. He's sitting in church one day, sitting beside me, and he said to Pastor Hopkins, he says, you know my past. He says, when you preach, don't you ever stop short of calling something sin. I don't want my kids going there. Amen. That's what this is about. You see, we're in a wilderness. But what's the Lord saying here? I've got everything. I'm providing everything for you to do what you need to do to complete my plan and purpose in my life for you. And you can finish this with joy. I'm thankful today he's done this. Now, there's this one other place I'm going to go here, and I'm going to do this rather fast. Man, I'm running out of time. I wasted too much time, I guess. But here it is. In Hebrews 3, verse number 10, I was telling our folks, too often we look for a president to bring success. He's not going to do it. No politician's going to do this. I've watched Daniel. I've looked at some of the Old Testament examples. You got Daniel. You got Joseph. The three Hebrew children. Look at what they accomplished. And a lot of times we think, well, this is 2021. That's not going to happen. Oh, I don't know. What Ezekiel 22, verse number 36? He's looking for a man that'll stand in the gap and make up the hedge. And no, it's not fun to do that a lot of times, but I'll tell you what. That light is important. When he said, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead. Don't act like you're lost. Act like you're saved. Let your light be bright. It will reveal the darkness. We've got a country today that needs to see light. And it says here, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And so here the Apostle Paul said, you know what? They didn't know my ways. They missed it. They could have had something. They could have got to the Canaan land and experienced victory. Instead, they wandered in a wilderness. And they lost their kids. That's sad. But that's what's happening today. And so, God's exhortation here to enter into the Canaan land rest. This is for every believer. I want to just go back to the book of Proverbs for just a little bit. And this is where I'm going to close. But book of Proverbs. Solomon deals with the importance of having understanding. In verse number 2 of chapter 1, he says to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. Go over to chapter 2. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest for her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up a sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness, judgment, and equity, and yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee. I'll stop there. As I was reading that, you know, Paul says they didn't understand God's ways. I'll hear people say today, well, that person seems like they might be a Christian. They seem like they might be saved. And you wonder sometimes. I've heard people make statements about people that they thought were saved. And I look at them and they're practicing sin. John said a man that practices sin shouldn't call himself a child of God. He's a child of the devil. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old way of life passes away. Behold, all things become new or are new. My mind tonight is a little bit, I'm stressed out. And I'm missing some words. But you get the gist of it, don't you? And so the fear of the Lord, you know this, is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. I used to always say, well, the fear of the Lord is you reverence him and you hate evil. That's true. But if you reverence him, you trust his word, and you value it above all. How many times have you heard a Christian say, well, this church says this. And there's a lot of Christians that say, that believe this. Now, you just left that, the fear of the Lord. Because you take what he says, he's the final authority. If you fear the Lord, okay? Then if you fear the Lord, you should serve him. Your priorities in life are everything's brought into obedience to him. You worship him. You don't have anything before him. That's the fear of the Lord. And if I have the fear of the Lord, that's the beginning of what? Knowledge. And so here he says to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. And so if I have the fear of the Lord, I gain knowledge. Well, wisdom allows me to use that knowledge. And it causes me to have understanding that only God can give me. And that just means when I look at the word justice, I can know what's right. That's what justice is. Judgment, I have discernment. As a Christian, all Christians ought to have discernment. That word equity is an agreement of principles. And I struggled with that a little bit. But it's a correct judgment on human actions. Many times we don't have a correct judgment on human actions. Our politicians do not have correct judgments on human actions. Their brains are totally ignorant. David said it this way. This is equity. He said, hear the right, O Lord. Attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. He's saying, listen to what I'm saying. That what I'm saying is not coming out of feigned lips. In other words, I'm not being hypocritical. I'm very serious about what I'm saying. And then he says, watch what I do, what I say and what I do. That's equity, okay? And so I think tonight, you know, I told my children, it's time we get our eyes off of looking for a politician, looking for a country to fix things. God's given us everything that we need to accomplish his will. We are in a wilderness, yes. But we have a spiritual heritage. And that, as he's given understanding, we as parents need to hand this down. There's one other verse, and I'll close with this one. This is Psalms, actually 78. If you want to go to it, I'm going to take a verse out of Proverbs here to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. As I was looking at Proverbs, and I've been teaching from the book of Proverbs, and of course I've been in the book of Numbers, and I've told the church people, I said, they sort of, you know, you see what God's doing in the book of Numbers, and you see how he's laying out these spiritual truths, and he's telling the children of Israel, this is what you need to do. You need to love me with all your heart, soul, and mind. And you need to have these words in your heart. Now you need to teach them. All right? Well, here. The dark sayings. Psalm 78:1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he had commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. So the dark sayings, what are they? They're hard sayings. There are things that some families today aren't teaching because their children have maybe left the truth. And so he's saying, look, you need to pass these down. Don't be like what happened in the wilderness, that rebellious and rebellious generation that set not their heart aright. And so today we have transgender, homosexuality. My grandson goes to Pensacola Christian College, and he says he's dealing with things in Pensacola Christian College with kids that are coming out of Christian homes questioning homosexuality, whether it be right or wrong. Divorce, remarriage, no debate anymore on that. Most churches allow it. You say, why do they allow it? Nobody wants to deal with the dark sayings. They're too difficult. It's going to cause too many problems. You know where the problems are? Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11, he said, I'm afraid as the serpent beguiled Eve in the garden, that your minds will be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The truth? Pretty simple, isn't it? When I stray away from the truth, you know what I got? Oh, those dark sayings become really difficult. Somebody says, well, how do you fix this? Look at my family. Look at the mess. We got to give a little bit of tolerance here. Give a little bit of leeway here. No, the simplicity that's in Christ, one man, one woman, until death do you part. That's simple, isn't it? Does God forgive? Absolutely. Amen. Praise God. I've got people in my church. God gives them grace to work with the pieces. But if you're saved, there are certain things that should never be said of a believer. Amen? And so, you know why we have a wilderness today? Because we got rebellious, stiff-necked. I don't know if they're the mixed multitude. I don't know if they're the tares. I don't know if they're just carnal Christians. I don't know. I'm not God. God knows. And I believe the people that commit the sin probably know, okay? Of course, shouldn't say that because the terrorists don't know. A lot of the terrorists think they're going to go to heaven. So, yeah, I went the wrong way around, but this is something that's really burdened me. Because I'm telling my children, I look right now and I say, I got 11 kids, 31 grandkids. And you know what I told them? Don't you give an inch. If God said it, that's what you do. You be the one to stand in the gap. Make up the hedge and say, we're going to do it God's way in my family. You step out, you're on your own. Why do you do that? Because there's only one way to reveal how bad that darkness is. I think Jesus said it best in Matthew. You know what he said? Lay up treasures in heaven. Remember that one? Matthew 6? Remember he talks about the darkness, if there be darkness in the eye. I'll just go back to it real quick if I can find it here. I said I was going to finish. My son David, you know, he says he has a problem with me in this area. He said, when you say one more verse, make it one more verse, right? Oh, my. I'm drawing a blank here. Lay up treasures in heaven. Where is it? Thank you. I don't know why I was in 15. If thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that be in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? The light of the eye, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? You ever hear people say, I'm doing 90% of what God wants me to do? That sounds good, don't it? What's the Lord just say? If you got 10% darkness, how great is that darkness? I didn't read the last verse. You can't serve two masters. You either serve him or you serve in the world. You either have darkness or you have light. That's pretty tough. But that's it. Where are you at tonight? You know, I'm a church planter in South Dakota. My goal is I want to see people get saved. I want to see families not just get 50% of their children saved. I want to see 100% success. Praise God. First fellow we led to the Lord into jail, he has three children, and all three of his teenagers are living for God. First man that got saved in the jail, 100% success. And you say, how can that be? That's the way God intended it. When the Philippian jailer said, what must I do to be saved? What did Paul say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And what? His house. Remember that? Household salvation is what God intended. And we say, well, that's not happening today. Why isn't that happening? Because there's a lot of wilderness and not much victory. And it ought not be that way. And you know what America needs in 2021? Needs you and I. That spiritual, that pedigree, passing it down. Let's get back to where God would want us to be. Let's Okay, I'm not gonna go to the right. I'm not gonna go to the left. What did he say? You follow the command as God gave it, and God will give you the success, and God will give you the victory. Follow.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.